Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/smallbusiness.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people want to make friends? I'm just trying to save you a little money. My job, not just entertain, to educate. Put days like today in context, and you need that. So call me, 1-800-743-CNBC. Tweet me, Jim Cramer. Look, we have what I call toppy action, not bubbly action. Toppy. Easy to get these confused. A top is much less devastating than a burst bubble. One glance at the averages tells you that something is wrong right now. Dow sinking 405 points, S&P plunging 1.02%, NASDAQ plummeting 1.65%. Now, we start off weak, and then unlike much of the time since the market began to rally in November, we actually then finish even lower. It had been the opposite pattern. Some stocks managed to buck the trend, of course, but most can't, and that is classic toppy action. Bubbly action, on the other hand, is when you go straight up and then straight down, with the only respite being wild short squeezes on the way down. We saw bubbles in 2000 and in 2006 and 2007. We saw a ton of toppy action in the 90s and the 2010 to 2011 period. Of course, 2000 was all about the dot-com bubble collapsing, dragging down an entire generation of investors who put their money in bogus internet companies with stocks that went into free fall. Most of these people never came back to the stock market. Then in 2007, we had the bursting of the housing bubble. Lenders would give anybody a mortgage because they were selling these loans to third parties who repackaged them as mortgages, mortgage-backed securities. Then they rolled them in increasingly abstruse derivatives to hide the risk. When the housing bubble collapsed, we got a financial crisis that nearly brought down our entire economy. The first one, the dot-com implosion, destroyed confidence in the stock market for at least a generation, maybe permanently. The second one was systemic, destroying some major financial institutions and leading to the Great Recession. That was truly a horrendous bear market. Now, those were bubbles. Right now, we've got nothing like that. But I'll admit that the market feels toppy, which is worse than frothy and therefore not great. What's the problem here? More accurately, what are the problems? Exhibit A is Tesla. The electric car company saw its stock top out at $299 last year. It's now down to $180. It was off another $7 today. Now, that was one of the Magnificent Seven. With any other company, we call this a disaster. Tesla gets a partial pass because of Elon Musk. Oh, but it's not in good shape. Why? Okay, Tesla sales are terrible in China. Chinese automakers are decimating everybody's numbers all over the globe. And they're hurting Teslas in China. By the way, they also just got hit by an arson attack and it shut down the plant in Germany. They created a pickup truck that seems stillborn, too expensive, not utile. The competition from China is a serious problem. Without high tariffs or import restrictions, you can't keep these cars out. And if you're trying to compete with them in China like Tesla does, forget about it. Making matters worse, electrics simply aren't taking over the world like we thought they would, even with Biden's subsidies. Oh, and if Trump wins the election, you better believe those subsidies are going to go away fast. So not a great time to be a Tesla shareholder. Even though, as I still believe in Elon Musk and believe that something good can happen, just not now. Second, sadly, in this tale of woe is Apple. The long knives are out for this company practically every day now. like with Tesla, China's become a problem. The iPhone may be just too expensive for the troubled economy. We're hearing from a questionable source that Apple's phone sales are down 24% in China this year. I emphasize questionable. This is on top of the many negative stories about how Samsung has a now more AI-infused phone, got that from Best Buy, and the Vision Pro has already lost its mojo. That's from various press reports. Look, people are constantly predicting Apple's downfall, and over the long term, they end up being proven wrong. Short term, though, the flood of negativity can really hurt the stock. I always say own Apple, don't trade it, because it's too hard to sell the stock at the top and then buy it back at the bottom. But if you think you can pull that off, be my guest. I've made very, very big money from my travel trust by buying and holding after doing my homework. I'm not changing now. Could it go to 160? Of course it could. Third sign of a top, the insane action in the shares of Supermicro Computer. Now, we had founder, chairman, and CEO Charles Liang on the show at the end of January when this AI stock in NVIDIA partners stood at $495. 2 weeks later, it had doubled. Now, that's a parabolic move of the first order, and those moves are terrifying. They almost always, always end badly. The stock roared again when we learned last week that Supermicro was being added, terrible timing, to the S&P 500. Took it up almost another 20% yesterday as people tried to get in ahead. That is idiotic behavior. Idiotic. Supermicro did not deserve this move, and it's a dreadful sign because it's the frothiest stock in the entire stock market. Fourth, the most sainted part of the tech space is enterprise software. And within enterprise software is a segment called DevSecOps, a combination of development, security, and operations software. That is the hottest software segment there is. And GitLab, which reported last night, is the poster child for DevSecOps with a big artificial intelligence tie-in. Oh, it reported a terrific, magnificent quarter even, but gave stunningly weak guidance. The analysts badgered and badgered management to no avail. They wouldn't even say it was a conservative forecast. GitLab stock fell more than 20% today. Honestly, I'm surprised it didn't fall more. Fortunately, it wasn't as horrendous as Snowflake, which lost its brilliant CEO, Frank Slootman, last week and gave a very weak forecast. That one still can't find its footing. $234 stock goes to $166 with still no sign of a bottom. Then again, Workday and Salesforce had good quarters with no big resignations, and their stocks are still being hammered because the whole group's going out of style rather rapidly. Fifth, there's a company called Celsius, Kramer fave beverage company, heavily shorted stock. When Celsius reported a terrific quarter, the shorts immediately put out stories arguing the numbers weren't real, so the stock fell. It caused a quick and terrible panic. But it wasn't enough to keep the stock down. There is a 20% short position. The shorts were what I call operating on it. Next thing you know, Celsius is up 20 points in a straight line over a couple of days. Again, though, that is toppy. More toppiness. How about when you get stocks like Target and AeroVironment soar? Target up 18 today, AeroVironment up more than 36. Target rallied because inventories were down. It's revamping its loyalty plan. AeroVironment's winning because Uncle Sam's finally embracing its cheap drones that they've been, and they're very useful in Ukraine. Then there's the action in Bitcoin. As long as people thought Bitcoin would be used to buy things and pay people, there was always a ton of volatility. But once the exchange-traded products got rolled out, that eliminated the source of tension that came from ever having to sell this stuff for cash. The bears didn't understand that when Bitcoin stops trying to be a currency, it would actually become much more popular. And that's what's happened. No more volatility. No disturbances from NFTs, whatever the heck those were. Just straight up. Of course, the monster move in Bitcoin is toppy as all get out now that it's hit its old high. But you have very smart people like Michael Saylor, the CEO of MicroStrategy, selling $600 million in convertible bonds to buy more Bitcoin. Hey, look, that could prop it up. I don't know. I always find it curious, though, when someone announces their intention to buy something without the slightest degree of caginess. It's kind of like he wants to walk it up or something. Now, against all these signs of a top, what do we have aside from the rotation in inexpensive stocks like the banks? Priscilla, you know the answer. We have NVIDIA. You know how I feel about NVIDIA. That said, I'm not oblivious. Oh, yes, we did have CrowdStrike report a terrific quarter after the close. Cybersecurity still has mojo, or at least this one does. It went up way too much for my taste. Again, I don't like stocks that scream parabolic, because then they can be parabolic and then lead to big declines, even if they're good. Here's the bottom line. Toppy action ends only when they get to everything and everyone. And that does include NVIDIA, even as I can't think of a reason for it to come down and we're doing nothing with the trust. And that's the real oddity. It doesn't matter. When the market gets toppy, nobody needs a reason to knock down high-flying stocks. It happens all by themselves. Mike in Illinois, Mike.
Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike, trying to figure out a very difficult market all of a sudden. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, you and Jeff and the crew, for all you guys do for us.
Jeff's all great.
And I'm a club member, and I've been watching for many, many years. Listen, I own some Eaton. I bought a little bit today on the close because I thought the market was down a lot, but I'm wondering if I should maybe buy some more if it's down again tomorrow.
Jeff and I were talking about buying more Eaton. We feel like it's got to, because we have such a great basis on it, we want it to come in a little more. I think you should wait when we do. I think just follow our bulletins. It's been a real winner. And thank you for being a member of the club. We've got some good ones. Let's go to Jerry in Missouri, please. Jerry.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Jim, it seems that if a company has anything to do with electric vehicles, its stock is cursed.
Yes.
Even though the best-selling car worldwide is the Model Y.
Correct.
It just doesn't seem fair. And I know that is why Hertz is in the tank, but is Hertz a broken stock or a broken company?
I actually believe it's a broken stock. I have great confidence in Stephen Scherr, who was the CFO at Goldman for a long time and did a fantastic job. The stock is very daunting, but the company isn't. And it's a great brand name, and it's come down so much that I think it's tempting, but I know that you fight the tape with your own peril right now in this market, but thank you for the kind words. When the market gets toppy, nobody needs a reason to knock down high-flying stocks. It happens all by themselves. Well, Mad Money Tonight, the surge in interest around makeup products is an anomaly. It's not a quirk. It's not even an idiosyncrasy. It's an oddity. Yes, Oddity Tech, and I've got the CEO. Then, after an unusually strong start to the year, how worried should we be about this recent market pullback? I'm going off the charts to find out, and it is disconcerting. And I've got an off-the-tape company whose name you might not recognize, but I'm finding out if it has a growth strategy that still has the meat. I'm talking to the CEO of Arby's owner Inspire Brands. Yes, they own Dunkin' too, so stay with Kramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on X. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Mentions. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All Right, what just happened to the stock of Oddity Tech, the Israeli direct-to-consumer cosmetics play? I mean, here's a recent IPO that's finally seemed to find its footing earlier this year after the lockup when insider selling expired in January. Over the past couple of weeks, this thing had rallied roughly more than 20% from its mid-February lows. But after Oddity Tech reported tonight, its stock got clobbered in after-hours trading. Now, I got to say, this reaction to this one tells you a lot more about the market right now, not about Oddity. Oddity reported an excellent set of results. They delivered a 5-cent earnings beat off 12-cent basis. That's really hard. Higher than expected sales, up 44% year over year. However, management's guide was considered to be not perfect. It's mostly better than expected, but the gross margin outlook for the current quarter came in light. Full year earnings forecast was a bit short of expectations. Remember, though, we are in a very unforgiving mode right now because the gross margins here are extraordinary. In response, the stock got eviscerated after hours trading. And you know what? I think that's crazy given the strength of the numbers here, but don't take it from me. Let's dig deeper with Lindsay Drucker Mann, the CFO of Oddity Tech, to learn more. Ms. Mann, you are a seasoned pro. I welcome you back to Mad Money, and maybe you can explain to people that sometimes a great quarter should be what people should be thinking about and not necessarily a penny or two on a forecast.
Listen, Jim, we're here to build something huge. Right. We're here for the long term. We're not focused about one aftermarket reaction to your point, was an unbelievable outcome for us in the fourth quarter to cap off an exceptional year. We delivered 57% revenue growth for the full year at 20% adjusted EBITDA margins. We beat on every single line, effectively revenue, profitability, and earnings per share. And that results on their face are excellent. But when you look at other direct-to-consumer companies, right, when you look at other consumer companies, we are absolutely an outlier, and we will continue to outperform. We have lots of runway for growth.
Well, I'm really glad you put it that way, because we're in a very uncertain market. And what's happening is, I mean, what are my friends? George Kurtz runs CrowdStrike. The stock's up 70 because they didn't have a shortfall. You're up, you're down because you just keep delivering good numbers. We have to put things in context and maybe say to somebody, you know what, like Elf, which I liked when it fell from 20 to 16. Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, because you did indeed have a gross, incredible 1,700 basis point year over year gross margin. I mean, no one has that. That's incredible.
Yeah, our business is truly firing on all cylinders. Right. And this is just for now, or for financial performance right now is amazing. But as you look to the future, we're even more excited. And we're really focused on the two most important dynamics affecting what we believe is the, you know, we compete in what we think is one of the most attractive and lucrative TAMs on the planet. I know you like the beauty sector a lot.
Absolutely.
We're owning the two most important trends. Number one is the consumer shift online. And number two is the consumer shift to high-performance, science-backed products with Oddity Labs, where we're planning to
dominate. Let's talk about that, because, of course, look, I have a fashionista daughter, and I said, how about these guys? And what she said was she and her similar friend both love the foundation and concealer. Online share matching system works perfectly. They're not well off, but they're well enough to be able to, her friend at her wedding, they made each other up with your stuff.
I
now, these
that.
Are people who would love to be able to buy the absolute best, and they think that you're the best because it works scientifically.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
So, you know, the beauty category had always been underpenetrated online. And if you talk to the companies, they'd say the customer doesn't want to shop there.
Right.
The truth is the customer does want to shop there, but she needs help. And so what we've done with our technology is instead of a store associate who helps you understand what's the right tone, undertone, ingredients, routine, we have machine models that do that for you better than a store associate could do. And that's been the huge unlock for us online, was figuring out how to leverage data science, AI, computer vision, all to drive very, very profitable conversion and growth online for the category.
Now, you look at an outfit, my Chapter Trust owned it for years and years and years, and it's doing quite, unfortunately, doing poorly, Estee Lauder. Have they just not kept up with the kinds of things that you're doing?
Listen, I think Estee has over many years built an extraordinary business where they compounded for a very long time. They are running an old playbook, which for us, we believe the consumer has moved past. And this is part of why our opportunity is so attractive. We operate in an enormous global market that is dominated by legacy incumbents that have underinvested in technology.
Right.
And the consumer has just moved past it. So when, like your daughter, the consumer engages with our technology platform, we see so much pent-up demand. That's what's driving our incredible growth.
Now, meanwhile, a lot of people say, look, I'm worried about a big lockup expiration. That's coming on. I mean, you've got a very steady share base. You've got the clean balance sheet. You've got great priorities for cash. This is, again, why I'm saying that this night sell-off may not even exist. It may just be someone. I saw Celsius get knocked down horribly. And the stock went up 25 points in the next 3 days. I'm urging people to put away the short term. It's not working right now. It's not making anybody money. You've got a longer term game you're playing. And could you please explain to our people about what the notion means about the algorithm and the operating leverage? Just walk
sure.
them through it.
Yeah, and listen, on that point, we understand that for you and for other people that make their business in short-term trading, that's the focus. That's not our focus. We're here to build something for the very long term that continues to compound durably over time, sustainably, and generates an extraordinary amount of value. We're not focused on the noise, we're focused on executing. As it relates to our algorithm, we've committed to sustained minimum 20% revenue growth at 20% EBITDA margins, which is top tier and outlier relative to what other companies are able to deliver. And actually in 2024, we'll be delivering, we're committing to performance slightly ahead of that long-term algorithm at 22 to 24%. A sustained top line growth.
I would be, you know, I think it's fair to say that that is what I want to measure you by. I mean, if you came in suddenly and said, listen, we're now mid-teens, I would say, well, you know what, Lindsay, that is not what you came on the show and said.
Sure.
And that's how I want to analyze your company, because
sure.
I would never have caught Elf if I had listened to the drumbeat of the shorts telling me they don't have it. They did. They had a great playbook. Your playbook is very different. There's room for both.
Yeah, no, there's so many, right? Name me a stock that is an extraordinary value today that hasn't had moments where people doubted it.
Exactly.
But we have more conviction than ever. And in fact, if you're paying attention, every single time we've reported a quarter, we've beat across all of our metrics.
Always.
We deliver what we say we're going to deliver, and we'll continue to do that.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad you're here. You come here on an important day, because a lot of people are very unsure now of what to do. And I am saying, please don't take your cue from the short-term action. Whether it's up 50 or down 50 is probably wrong right now. So anyway, I want to thank Lindsay Drucker Mann, Oddity Tech's global CFO, for coming on. And I got to tell you, the people who know love this stuff. Mad Money's back every week.
Coming up, is this month's market going out like a lamb? Don't be sheepish. Join Cramer as he goes off the charts next.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Approach this market after today's terrible action. There's lots of small unit combat action being won by the bears right now, helped by a Fed official warning us that we might only get one rate cut this year. Makes sense to me. It was the proximate cause of the averages getting pummeled today, because not too long ago, Wall Street was looking for 3 rate cuts. A lot of people thought we would get 6 at the beginning of the year. In reality, the economy is strong enough. The Fed has no reason to even think about multiple rate cuts, which, of course, is bad for the market short term. Simply responsible central banking long term. So this market's had a huge run, and now we are in the midst of a sell-off. So what's next? How worried should we be about this pullback? Well, it depends. You heard what I had to say at the top, but another way to answer the question is we're going to go off the charts with the help of Larry Williams. He's a legendary technician. He's a market historian. Been the best in business since I was a teenager. He's written over a dozen books. He had a ton of proprietary technical indicators that everybody uses. Larry's also made some stunning calls in the last few years. He nailed the COVID bottom. He nailed the market-wide bottom in late October. So what does he have to say about the current moment? Particularly because he's been very bullish all the way up. Yeah, Larry's been so bullish since the lows of 2022 that this one's going to be hard, what I'm about to tell you. See, every time the market's gotten hit, he's urged you to buy stocks in a weakness. He recognized those pullbacks were buyable because we were in a bull market. And he knew the bull was in charge because of this cycle analysis. He'll look up the historical action in a given stock or index, then identify patterns that seem to repeat themselves over and over. Then he projects those patterns forward to identify markets where identify moments where the market's more likely to change trajectory. Remember, that's what you're always looking about, change of trajectory. Now, though, Williams is actually worried that we're going from melt up, which we've been, to melt down, because the cycles are looking a lot more negative. Although he admits at his time it could be imperfect, and he's been more negative about the Magnificent Seven than was warranted. Only Tesla really broke down from there. Cycles also predicted a plunge in crypto, which happened, but then it roared higher. It's impossible to be right all the time. You just want to make fewer mistakes than the other guy. Let's start with the daily chart of the NASDAQ. The price action in black and the red is the line. The red is the general path that the index has followed for several years. Yeah, that's his cycle forecast. As you can see, if this historical pattern holds true, Williams would expect the Nasdaq to peak around March 15. That's a week and a half from now. Of course, he's not saying the Nasdaq will actually peak on the 15th. Nobody's good enough to put together a cycle forecast that can identify the precise day of a top or a bottom. That's not what this tool is supposed to be used for. As Williams explains, these cycles forecasts are more like traffic lights. When the cycle's headed higher, that's a green light. When it's headed lower, that's a red light. While the exact dates won't be perfect, this kind of helpful, I find it very helpful analysis. It's showing us where something like the Nasdaq is more likely to change its direction, change the trajectory. And look, if you took your cue from Larry's cycle analysis here, you could have sidestepped the Nasdaq's big decline from late last summer through late October. You would have known about the big rally to come, okay? That's the one that started late October and early November. Again, that's exactly what happened. Now, I don't know why this methodology works, but I can't deny that it works surprisingly often. It doesn't mean it's going to work every single time. Like I said, Bitcoin didn't work. Now, Larry's cycle forecast says the Nasdaq's likely to start rolling over starting around the middle of the month. Fortunately, this kind of analysis doesn't tell you much about the magnitude of a given move. I mean, otherwise, judging from this picture, you think we're in a hideous decline. But Larry's cycles tend to be pretty reliable when it comes to predicting the duration of these moves. Based on history, points that you should expect this weakness in Nasdaq to last well into late May. So that would mean you don't buy the first dip, right? Don't buy the second dip. Now, look, of course, I hope he's wrong about the Nasdaq because many of you are in it. But this tech-heavy index has had a huge run, and it wouldn't shock me if it needs some sort of breather, right? It's got to consolidate the gains. So Larry warns you not to rush in to buy the first pullback. He's expecting a couple months of weakness, even as he still believes we're in a bull market, which I think is what matters to you. All right, now beyond the Nasdaq, let's take a look at Larry's cycle forecast for the broader base S&P 500. Now notice, this picture looks a lot like the picture of the Nasdaq because there's a lot of overlap. Once again, the cycle forecast has been very good at predicting intermediate long tops and bottoms, the S&P 500. You see that there and see that there. And right now the cycles are saying that the S&P is likely to peak this time around March 7. Well, just a second, that's Thursday. Remember, these dates aren't meant to be super precise. You can give or take a couple of days. Maybe S&P already started rolling over with today's heinous action. Just like the Nasdaq, Williams says you should expect multiple months of selling pressure. The cycle doesn't turn positive again until the end of May. So don't buy this dip and don't buy that dip. But maybe we need to look at a specific stock to really hammer this point home. And wouldn't you know it, Larry Sennett watches the show. What do you think? Yeah, it's NVIDIA, right? Gives you a better sense of the market. Nothing. The stock held in today. Great. It's the newly crowned artificial intelligence kingpin. This has been one of the biggest winners in our history for the Chapel Trust, which is why I always tell you to just own NVIDIA and don't try to trade it. However, I acknowledge that it is a volatile stock, and if you've got a huge gain, keep in mind that you're being undisciplined if you don't take something off the table. So I am not telling you that, look, you have to do nothing other than just own it. When you take a look at Larry's cycle forecast for NVIDIA in red, just like with the Nasdaq and the S&P, history suggested stocks should peak a week from now on the 12th, and that's right before the gigantic Jensen Huang State of the Union speech at the GTC24 conference. And he doesn't see the cycle turning positive again until mid-May. I don't necessarily think that NVIDIA's due for a pullback that badly, but maybe like the Nasdaq. The stock has had a monster run, though, and we know that one can sell off hard when the market goes south. Now, this is important. I love NVIDIA too much to back away from it. You need to understand that the stock sometimes gets hit with some nasty short-term turbulence, and if Larry's right, the turbulence is only a week away. We are maintaining our position for the Chapel Trust, that, of course, I run as part of the CNBC Investing Club, but we're also advising club members who want to sidestep the decline. There's absolutely nothing wrong with ringing the register. Oh, God of battle, steal my NVIDIA soldiers' hearts, please. But I get that if you want to try to sidestep this and believe in this work, you could get a chance to be able to buy it back cheaper. And I'm not going to disagree with that. Okay? Here's the bottom line. The charts as interpreted by Larry Williams suggest that the Nasdaq and S&P 500 are both due for nasty sell-offs starting the next week or two, with the pain potentially lasting through the end of May. And since we're at the beginning of March, that's a long time. So brace yourselves for what could be a very difficult period. I am still believing in this market and in NVIDIA, but that doesn't mean that it can never go down. Let's talk to Zachary in New York. Zachary.
Hey.
Hey, Zachary.
Hey, what's going on? This is Kenneth, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? What's up?
Good, man. I was just wondering, my stock I have here is Oracle. Their earnings report is supposed to come out sometime next week. So I was wondering what's your views on that stock?
And what was the stock?
Oracle.
Awful? Oracle. Okay, they report next week. The last two quarters have been miserable. So I have to tell you, they're in the penalty box with me. Maybe this is the one that works out, but they have just disappointed. You only get twice with me because it's not a three strikes you're out game with me. It's a two strikes because I can't take the hit for my travel trust. I have to put them in the penalty box. All right. The charts interpreted by Larry Williams suggest that the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are both due for nasty sell-offs starting in the next week or two. So I say brace yourselves, and if you want to, you know, do what we call schnitzel, take a little off the table. That'd be my guess. Because we've dropped so much, much more money, including my exclusive with Inspire Brands. Okay, maybe that's a private company, you don't know them, but Dollars to Donuts, it's the owner of Dunkin', Baskin Robbins, and Jimmy John's. Let's find out about the pace of growth there. I'm going to talk with the CEO. And solar stocks can be a good addition to your portfolio, but you don't want to invest in every company under the sun. I'll explain why. And of course, all your calls rapid fire tonight's edition of the Lightning Round. So stay with Cramer. Understand a sector, it's not enough to follow the publicly traded companies. You need to keep up with the biggest privately held ones. Take Inspire Brands. That's the restaurant company that owns a bunch of household names. You know them all. Buffalo Wild Wings, Andy's, Dunkin' Donuts, Sonic, Jimmy John's, Baskin Robbins, among others. These guys have more than, get this, 32,600 locations across 57 global markets, making Inspire one of the largest players in the space. On top of that, there's been speculation that they might be thinking about coming public later this year or in 2025. Give me some. But even if it stays private, you know what? We can learn a great deal about this industry from this phenomenal outfit. So let's check in with Paul Brown. He's the co-founder and CEO of Inspire Brands to get a better read on the restaurant business. Mr. Brown, welcome to Mad Money.
It's great to be here, Jim.
All right. Well, as a restaurateur, I have to tell you, you inspire me. You have created something in 6 years. And it all works. How did you get the idea? How did you get these particular businesses? And tell us, you're number one in everything.
Yeah, Inspire Brands is a global restaurant platform with obviously six distinct brands and 32,000 restaurants. What makes us different is that we are tightly integrated. Our brands are tightly integrated around a set of shared capabilities. So each brand can benefit from the investments in those capabilities from the other. It looks more like a model that you might be familiar with in the hotel sector than it does in restaurants.
Your background, Hilton. Yeah. Now I'll tell you something that's amazing. I always thought that Dunkin' was pretty good run, but I used to see there were so many areas in the country that didn't have Dunkin'. I lived in Boston for a long time. They had tons of Dunkins, but they just never seemed to want to do anything. What have you done with that chain since you took it over?
Dunkin' is absolutely on fire.
It's incredible.
Average unit volumes are up 30% since we acquired the brand.
I wish people knew how hard it is to do it.
And a lot of work has gone into it. Part of it is we've replaced all the coffee equipment and beverage equipment across the brands. The franchisees have made some great investments. It's allowed us to actually build up the iced business. In fact, we're selling more iced beverages than we are.
Well, you invented them.
We did invent it. A franchisee in Rhode Island about 30 years ago got the bright idea of pouring coffee over ice, and everybody liked it, and so we went with it.
Well, it's remarkable. Now, there's some that I think people don't realize. Drive-in turned out to be the way everyone, you got the Chipotle drive-ins. Yeah. You pioneered drive-ins with Sonic, and it's still working.
Well, what attracted us to Sonic is we felt that brand was perfectly set up for order ahead. It already has the ability to order ahead and bring the food out to you. And of course, we didn't know COVID was going to come along, and it actually exploded during that time. But it's actually been a great business. It's 27% order ahead sales, up 25% year over year in order ahead sales. So it's just a phenomenal concept set up for digital technology.
Now, people might say, wait a second, almost 33,000 restaurants, you're tapped out. But you were putting out projections that would indicate that you're nowhere near tapped out in any of these great brands.
Yeah, that's a great thing about having a portfolio. We see white space at least 2x in the United States.
2x?
2x if you look at the white space, just given where we are. And even Dunkin', as many as we have, they're still fairly concentrated in this part of the country.
I know you just opened your 10,000th store overseas, right? In Netherlands, I find what you're doing is really rather remarkable. Do you ever get home? You only live in Atlanta, I guess, so you get to go home occasionally, right?
We have a lot, but it's really all about building the relationships with great licensees and bringing one of our brands to a licensee that may have had another brand. And it's really helping us build that portfolio.
Yeah, it sounds like there's great synergy in terms of knowing how to operate.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the things I'm most impressed about, I've been a big Wingstop backer, I admit. I like Wingstop. I happen to love Buffalo. And you have got the BWW Go, including one in Philly, where I think that we could use an additional. How is that going to work, the takeout?
Well, we have over $1 million takeout business in all of our sports bars today. And it's just a great takeout and delivery product. And so we said there's just an opportunity to create a format dedicated to takeout delivery, 800 square feet to 1,100 square feet. Let's just take this concept into places that you couldn't put a sports bar. And we just see a huge amount of growth in that. We'll have 160 open by the end of the year, our third one opening in Manhattan in a few weeks. In April, you're going to have one in Philadelphia. And so we have 500 commitments plus from franchisees to build those restaurants, and we've only been franchising it for 18 months.
That's incredible. That is so fast. I know there's lines. You really got the word out. Now, I'm not going to overlook Sonic and BR, but I have to tell you that when I was not doing as well as I am now, candidly, and I'm very blessed and lucky, Arby's was my go-to. But then I started thinking that Arby's had lost its way. But you're starting to think about maybe a plan to make it so people realize how it's been reinvented under you?
Yeah, Arby's has terrific food, and it's a really exciting brand. We think there's opportunities for people to try more of that food. So we have something coming later this year that'll give people an opportunity to really try Arby's in a way that they haven't before, and I'm sure they're going to absolutely love it.
Okay, now Baskin-Robbins, 7,700 of those. I mean, these are incredible numbers that you're putting up. And there really is more room for ice cream? There's really more room for sandwiches?
Absolutely. Outside the United States, Baskin-Robbins, two-thirds of the business is outside the United States. We have almost 1,000 Baskin-Robbins in India. We're going to cross that mark in a few months.
You know, thank heavens, you said something in an interview that was so terrific. You said, you know, we don't want to be in China so much. We want to be in a growth market,
yes.
India. So you're not hostage to the thinking that has just enthralled so many Americans for so long. That's not working.
You have to go into China the right way. We have no exposure to China, but we love India, and we love so many of the other markets. We love Latin America. Just right. Such huge growth opportunities in those markets.
All right, so let me ask you about the health of consumer in two different ways. Is the consumer spending health consumer GLP-1? What are you thinking?
Well, we see about 75% of Americans every year in one of our restaurants, given the breadth of our brands. And so we do see the nation,
right.
And we have been pleasantly surprised about the resiliency. There are differences based upon income level, but that's the beautiful thing about having a broad, diverse brand with multiple price points and multiple occasions.
And these weight loss drugs, I mean, yeah, they're just a factor, right? And people want to have a good meal, and they want to go where they are, and they're going to eat it no matter what.
We haven't seen any impact. We're just focused on having great, craveable food at the right price.
Well, you have done it. I want to congratulate you. There are business people I meet, and I'm just incredibly impressed, and one of them is you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that is Paul Brown, co-founder and CEO of Inspire Brands. There are some fantastic articles about him and his company. And if you ever want to be an entrepreneur and really own something, this may be a great place to not get started because it's a little harder than that, but certainly have one. Mad Money's back in. And then the lightning round is, are you ready, Skeet? That's where the lightning round comes about. So with Aaron in Pennsylvania. Aaron.
Hey, Jim. How you doing? First-time caller. Thank you for sharing all of your investing knowledge with all of us out here.
I'm thrilled that you called. Thrilled.
In individual stocks last year. I have a relatively new REIT. Increased the revenue 17%. Net income's up. Earnings per share is up 15%. Dividend yield 5.6, PE of 11.9, market cap of $3.79 billion. Vici Properties, ticker VICI.
I was a big fan of Vici. The last acquisition they made, they did a bowling alley deal, and I'm not sure I like it because I just think it's a little too dicey. I would love that when they're doing these really high-end operations. But you know what? Let's have them back on. Maybe we can figure out what the heck is going on because I do think the management there is excellent. Let's go to Hutch in New Jersey. Hutch.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I am good, Hutch. How about you?
Good. I'm looking at Generac. See what your thoughts are
okay,
about Generac.
As long as interest rates are going to go low or lower, then Generac's fine with me because the grid's awful. It turned to be a bit more of a financing play because you had to borrow so much money to get a Generac. But I think it's fine here. We had the one I like. Let's go to Joe in Maryland. Joe.
Yeah, Jim. Thanks for taking the call, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm thrilled you're calling in. What's happening?
Well, I see, about 8 months ago, I bought 1,000 shares of a company that is doing pretty good, except until lately. It's been going up and down like a yo-yo, and I can't figure it out. Now, I'm thinking about selling half of it and putting it into Ethereum. Now, the company that I bought would be Cabaletta.
All right, that's T-cell immunity. I have always felt that that is an incredible, hopeful product, so that with speculation money, I'm fine with it. I typically do not like a lot of biotechs, but that is a particular kind of therapy that I believe in, so I'm okay with it. Let's go to Philip in Arkansas. Philip.
Yes, Mr. Kramer.
Yes.
In Arkansas. First time caller, long time listener.
All right.
Thank you for everything that you do.
You're welcome.
Jim, I bought a regional bank right before the regional crisis. I bought more because I believed in the bank. I'm now up 1%. I get a 5% dividend. Jim, should I buy more, hold, or trim, or sell Regions Financial?
RF, just hold on to it. It's not my favorite bank, but I think it's fine. My favorite right now is this Wells Fargo, which has just been a juggernaut for the Chapel Trust, but I think you're fine. Let's go to Supo. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Supo, North Dakota.
Supo. Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm so grateful. I wanted to ask you about MARE. I bought it at $25 per share yesterday. I went down so much.
What's the
Should
one?
I continue to buy more or get out of it?
Oh, Marathon? Well, no. I mean, just go buy the Bitcoin ETF. That's what you want to do. Don't fool around. Own the pure. Let's go to Jerry in Illinois. Jerry.
Yes, Jim. Booyah, Professor.
Booyah to you. What's going on?
You're the professor of finance. I've nicknamed you the Blizzard of Business Knowledge.
I'm
one of the guys who back in 08 was lost in the forest. And the banks were only offering 1% on CDs, and you told all of us to invest as well as they could any time. So I followed your lead and did. And I want to thank you for making my financial life safe for the last 14 years.
You're terrific. Thank you so much. Thank you. You're why I do the show, man, because believe me, I could have retired a long time ago. Here's why I do this show. What's up?
My question is about Portillo's Restaurants. You interviewed the CEO a while back, and I speculated a little bit, and I live near at Portillo's, and it's wall-to-wall people all the time.
It's always jammed, sir, but, you know, I've lost faith. I've lost faith in this management. They should be delivering better. The insiders were selling all. They were smart. I went to the places to see what could possibly go wrong. They're great looking. It's amazing. But that company is an overvalued company, and I just don't get how they could make it so they don't have better earnings. I mean it. They need better earnings. All right, let's go to Dave in Illinois. Dave.
Dr. Kramer, a cheerful press conference retirement for Jason Kelsey today.
Yeah, that was a tough one. What a good man. I had breakfast with him last year. He's fantastic. What's going on?
Fully agree. My stock for today is Powell Industries, up over 100% year to date.
And it's not done, Dave. It's not done. Powell is just a really good company. It reminds me of Eaton, which we own for the trust. It's kind of a mini, frankly, and I wish it would come down. I'd love to be able to put it in the portfolio. Dave always has something to offer. Let's go to Jeffrey in Massachusetts. Jeffrey.
Hi, Jim. How are you? I'm a huge fan of the club. I'm calling from Boston. I actually have a stock that actually pays a great dividend, over $5 a share, and it's up over 20% in the last 5 months. The stock is BlackRock.
It's going higher. I think BlackRock is the distinguishing event. It is the great financial repository for our nation, and you should own it. They made a fantastic acquisition for an infrastructure fund. BLK should never have gone down when it reported. It's still inexpensive. Great call by you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by Charles Schwab.
If you try to get a tan in this market, you got burn. I'm talking about TAN, the symbol for the Invesco Solar ETF, which has scorched investors over the past year. The reason? So many solar companies turn out to be just financing plays first and alternative energy plays second. People bought this TAN ETF thinking they were betting on the rise of clean energy. But it turned out they were betting on interest rates because when rates soared, people couldn't afford solar panels, so the whole group crashed. And that's how the TAN went from $80 around this time last year to $43 now. The TAN is everything I rail against in the investing club when I talk about the need to pick the best stocks in an industry, not the best and also the worst for some crazy reason. These ETFs are basically marketing games, which is why they always have to have the catchiest symbols. But in the end, it's a group of stocks in the same business, meaning it gives you zero diversification anyway. I always say know what you own. I wanted people to avoid the ETF and its components because a lot of people thought these stocks would be able to participate in the great solarization of our energy grid. Solar's gotten so cheap and our demands for clean electricity to typically to power data centers are so pressing that there should be a big opportunity here. We know the mandated need to move away from fossil fuels has created a terrific environment for commercial solar, but not residential solar for the consumer, commercial solar for the enterprise. Into this breach comes two stocks, Constellation Energy and Nextracker. Constellation has all the clean energy generation assets that were spun off by Exelon in February of 2022, although it's mainly a nuclear power play. I've recommended this one since the spinoff, and it's really paying off. It's up 51% year-to-date. How about Nextracker? Oh, we had them on last night. This is a technological marvel that allows solar power to be more flexible. Panels can be turned automatically to face the sun, avoid hail. With Nextracker, the cost of solar drops even more than it already has. CEO Dan Sugar, a.k.a. Shug, made it clear that 25% of our energy production could end up being solar by the end of the decade. That's pure commercial power generation, though. Nothing to do with consumers installing solar panels in their house, and everything to do with the falling price of the most renewable energy source there is. Consider these two winners versus, say, Sunrunners or Sunnova Energy, two unprofitable residential solar plays that investors piled into to play the consumer's love for renewable energy. Both these two have been crushed, both down nearly 90% from their early 2021 highs as people realize, holy cow, these are totally hostage interest rates. Nextracker, on the other hand, came public just over a year ago at $24, offering price before rallying to just under $57 as of today. It's one of the best IPOs of 2023. The stock keeps climbing. Why? Because there's tremendous demand for their technology at the corporate level. That's right, not the consumer. Constellation Energy's had a gigantic move to the point where it's gotten a little too hot for me. But Nextracker, with its extraordinary patent-protected software and hardware, well, that still seems worth buying to me. With the stock in the mid-50s, I like it very much. Two lessons here. First, don't bet on residential solar unless you're sure that financing is getting cheaper, because that's what drives that business. Second, stay away from these made-up marketing gimmick ETFs like the TAN. Non-diversification group of solar plays that are really interest rate plays is the exact opposite of what you need to do with your portfolio and your hard-earned cash. Don't be fooled. You can become roadkill very easily if you're led astray by these much-hyped products. I like to say that there's always a bull market somewhere. I promise to try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. Last call starts now.
All opinions expressed by Jim Cramer on this podcast are solely Cramer's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Cramer on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Jim Cramer as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Cramer's opinions are based upon information he considers reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Mad Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Mad Money disclaimer.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.